Okay, we have two readings today. The first is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And for all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, and it's titled The Boy Jesus at the Temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is Sunday, isn't it? Is it Sunday? You did well to work that out in this very weird time. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that our hearts would be open, that we would be freed from distractions, that we would focus our thinking and our hearing and our hearts on what you have for us today. I pray that you would speak through me. May your Holy Spirit lead us at every point, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'll be speaking focused on the first reading, not talking about Jesus in the temple this morning, but the Colossians 3 passage, and focusing particularly on verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. So, as the slide suggests, we're focusing on the goodness of God as we look at these words. And what a beautiful song to cut to just before. If who can be against us if our God is for us? It is an interesting time of the year. I came across this during the week, and it is a bit like that. We have this wonderful couple of days of Christmas, and then we have this weird limbo land that we're in at the moment, where you think, what day of the week is it? What are we supposed to be doing? Are the shops even open today? Does anyone know? Are the shops open today? Yeah, they just close and open. Supermarkets are all over the place. But there we go. We live in a strange, busy time of the year, and it's a time of the year when the year is rushing past us. So as we look at this Colossians passage today, we're going to look at it in relation to three things, looking at our present reality. What are the state of things? We're going to look back at 2024. I'm going to look forward to 2025 because that's where my head's at the moment, and I wonder if yours is too. I really encourage you as we come to the preaching this morning that you have the Bible open in front of you if you can, if you've got access to one. There's some in the pews there. Otherwise, many of you have got apps on your phone. And if you don't, that's okay. But we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. But as Brunetta read, I wonder if you noticed there was a therefore beforehand. And whenever there's a therefore, we've got to look for and see what was coming first. So we're going to do that. We're going to look at the beginning of that chapter at Colossians 3, 1 to 3. I'll read it, even though I know you can read. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, St. Paul, who wrote this letter, is writing to Christians. So he was writing from jail, apparently. He was probably in jail in Rome at the time. And he was writing to Christian people. That is, for people who have put their trust not in themselves, but in Jesus and in what he has done for them and for the world. It says incredible things here, and we haven't got time to unpack all of them. But just a few reality checks to come into. One is that it says that if we are in Christ, that is, we are Christian people, we have already died and we have been raised with him. Just let that sink in for a minute. When Jesus died, we died. We've already faced death and come through it. That means when we face physical death, those of us who are Christians, it'll be like a blink. The blink of an eye, and then we'll find we are living forever. It's enough to blow our minds. It gives us a whole new perspective on life, and that's what the Colossians passage is unpacking for us. Now we turn to today's passage, the section that Brunetta read. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We need to hit pause at this point. I want you to think about what is it that people most want in the world? What are they most looking for? What are we most looking for? Some might say happiness, maybe status, is it health, or maybe wealth? It's actually to be loved. We all want to be loved, to be known and unconditionally 100% loved, accepted. Think about it, it drives so much of our behaviour. It drives so much of our thought life, our activity on social media. How much do we want likes, comments and little love hearts on our posts? We want to be noticed. We want to be loved. Well, here the writer says that we are dearly loved. The song just before the worship talked about the reckless love of God. He loves with abandon. It's a theme throughout the Bible. That famous text, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He loved everyone. He loves you. That he gave his only son. That's the baby. Where is he? Here he is. That's Jesus. We celebrate Christmas still because God gave us that great gift. He became one of us due to his colossal love for us, more than we can ever comprehend. But let's get back to the passage. Therefore, clothe yourself, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Put them on as you dress yourself in the morning. The Message Bible puts it this way. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength. Discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, and quick to forgive. And then, over all these things, put on love, which binds them all together. We have been loved, so we can love. This is our present reality. We are greatly, unconditionally loved. Yes, I can't say that enough. If we are in Christ, if we are Christians, we've already died and we live resurrection lives, and so our lives need to catch up with the truth by getting dressed in those attributes. You can forget the Boxing Day sales, people. We already have all that we need. So, that's the way things really are now. Let's reflect a little bit on 2024. And as I do this, I want you to reflect on your own 2024. For me, there have been some wonderful joys. A second grandson for me, that was probably one of the highlights. Some wonderful travel opportunities, a fulfilling work. But also major disappointments and shocks. The big one for me was a cancer round three that came in June, and that was a shock. Of course, any diagnosis like that is a shock, and there's a lot to process. For me, there was the disappointment of, at the time, having to give up a much-anticipated conference I was going to speak at in Canberra because of a botched biopsy. Then I couldn't go to my favourite place in the world, Uganda, in July, and I watched other people go on a trip that I was supposed to be leading. And I lived for a short time with some jealousy and danger of resentment and flashes of bitterness. I confess to my shame. How could I understand God's love in this? Does he really love me when I'm deprived of such things? Things that I love the most? Things that I thought I was doing for him? How can we sing the song that we just sang with any sincerity when we're going through things like that? God is for us. When we live with major disappointments. And I know many of you faced things that were much worse than this during the year and are still battling those things. So this is a word for all of us. These questions boil down to the fundamental question of, is God good? Is he good? Can he actually be trusted? We often quote Romans 8:28, don't we? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Note the passage says, for the good of those who love him. What does it mean, though? What does it mean for the good of those who love him? What does God most want for us? What does he most want for us? He most wants a relationship. He most wants us. He most wants us to know him, to become more and more like Jesus. He loves us, and his love calls for a response in us to love God, and to love others. You know, once we see that he is good, that he wants our good, our ultimate good, that his character is good and unchanging, we can do what verse 15 talks about, and that is to be thankful, to be really thankful. We need to be recounting again and again what we have to be thankful for. Firstly, for Jesus, who came at Christmas and who lived the perfect life for us and died on the cross and was raised so that we can have rich, full, meaningful lives now and forever. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And we can be thankful that he cares so much for us that he doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't leave us in our sin and in our idolatry, but he redirects our gaze and our focus away from ourselves and our idols and back to Jesus himself. That's a gift. And he gives us so many other good gifts to enjoy, doesn't he? All the good things of life, like family, useful work, true joy in our day-to-day activities, good friends, because he loves us, because he is our true father who cares deeply for his children. I'd encourage you to go home and to reflect on 2024 and maybe even your whole life with enormous thanks to our God who is good. And where you were confused about why something happened, as I am, ask him. Be honest. He can take it. Read the Psalms, which are full of honest, searching prayers. But trust him anyway. He is good. You might want to journal your thinking. Writing can slow us down and keep us from distraction and focus our thinking. Talk to God as you do it. He longs to hear from you. There's your homework. Do some reflection. And as you do it, talk to God prayerfully and be thankful that he has been good to you, even in the hard things, maybe even especially in the hard things. But our passage talks to us as we look forward also to 2025. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. Peace, peace. Don't we long for this? For our world, for our communities, for our churches, for our families. But here it says in our hearts. In Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. It's a word we've heard before. It can sound a bit kind of spiritual, but it's a beautiful, rich word. It means completeness, wholeness, complete well-being. It's knowing that we are essentially okay and more than okay. It's not a passing thing. It's a state of being in life that means we cannot be shaken, not ultimately shaken. We'll have a wobble from time to time, but we won't be ultimately shaken. It's the very opposite of fear. In our Christmas reading on Christmas Day, we heard from Luke 2, the angels talking to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born for you. A saviour born for you. I love that the Christmas decorations are still around the place. They need to be. That's what we need, someone outside of ourselves to rescue us. Someone outside our own resources to rid ourselves from our sin and our fears. Jesus, that baby, we call the Prince of Peace. His peace can rule, can conquer our hearts. We just need to let him. Is God good? Yes. Capital Y-E-S, yes. Is his character in question? Absolutely not. He is faithful and unchanging. He has demonstrated this in spades, in history, and in our lives. He can be trusted with our deepest fears for 2025 and beyond. He can be trusted with your deepest fears for 2025 and beyond. I have scans again coming up early in January. There's always a level of disquiet that comes with that because you never know what's going to pop up. I don't know what's going to pop up. Having had cancer 3 times, there's no guarantee it's not going to come back again. In fact, at some stage, it's likely. But I can genuinely say, the Prince of Peace holds me. He loves me, and he's done everything needed for real joy, now and every day, no matter what. The very next verse, if you've got your Bible open, encourages us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Read the Bible, people. Join a Bible study group or a life group in 2025. Let that be one of your New Year's resolutions. Do life with people who will encourage you in the Word of God. We've got a number of great groups here at Golden Grove. Come and talk to us if you'd like to know more about that. Spend time with people who will encourage you to pursue real and lasting peace. Peace from knowing Jesus and the life he offers every one of us. We may well need to be jolted out of our own lethargy or indifference to receive it. I came across a verse this morning, Psalm 73, that I'm going to read. Have a listen to this. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, Happy New Year. Or, better, have a peace-filled New Year. May we live every day with childlike wonder as dearly loved children of the Father. May we live lives of worship and not of worry. May we live lives of faith and not of fear. May we share the good news of great joy whenever we have opportunity. We can look back with great thanks on 2024 and we can know God's goodness. And we can look forward to 25 and trust God's goodness. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you are a good, good Father and that you care deeply for us more than we can ever fathom. Lord, I pray that today we would entrust ourselves and our lives to you afresh. May we be clothed with the clothes that you give us of compassion, kindness, humility, and to over them all to put on love because you have loved us first. Lord, we thank you for the gift of a new year, whatever it brings. We pray that we would know the Prince of Peace and his shalom in Jesus' name. Amen.